Before this time, he was using the armor of the Philistines. If we're going to beat the devil, we must go to where the strength is.
Alright?
So, here we have the five floods. Five lots of this Philistine. And you also have the five senses. The first one is the eyes, Samson. The second one is called the ears. The third one is the nose, or the perception. Okay. Do the first one. Sorry. I like this other. Which was the town of Samson? Okay, and then, okay, so we have this one. The fourth one is the mouth, and then the fifth one is the hand, or the holding, to hold, or to touch, or the feeling. Now, these senses are the gate of hell. Or the gate of heaven. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
If you win, if you beat Goliath, you have the victory.
Amen. Okay, I'm jumping. I'm ready to jump. So somebody should read for us from somebody can read to read for us from verse 32 to verse 51. Let's get the full story. Okay, so 1 Samuel 17, 32 to 52. This is the loud voice. Please wake up if you are sleeping, wake up.
And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of me. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and slew him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I cut him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assumed to go, for he had not put it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not put them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was both a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his back and took 10 stones and slammed it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted, and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharon, even unto Gath and unto Ekron.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so verse 49 is the lesson of today. Okay, so whatever you have learned, whatever we have said, we are speaking in verse 49. So, what was the focus of David? Who will tell us? I was looking for one word. What was the focus of David? Are you raising your hand? Good. Yeah, young man raising his hand. What was the focus of David?
The head.
Uh-huh. Where is the head?
The mind.
Yes, the mind. Come. It's in head or the mind, but there's a word there. And David put his hand where? In his bag. And took a stone. And smoked the Philistine where? Smoking where?
Forehead.
Good. So forehead is where we're going to. Are you smiting the Philistine in the forehead? Is that where you are fighting the devil, in the forehead? If you want to overcome Goliath, you don't hit the leg. You don't hit his hand. You don't hit his ear. Where are you going for? You go for the forehead. In other words, if the devil wants to fight you, where will he go for?
He too will come for your forehead. Amen. It is forehead against forehead. It is head against head. It is mind against mind. And if we are going to overcome the devil, not with the spear, it's not with the shield. All those ones that have been tried and failed, they're all in the valley. Amen. If we are going to overcome David, we overcome Goliath, we must be like, we must fight like David fought. We must choose good stones and aim it where for the forehead. Amen.
Amen.
So, what do you find in the forehead? Right? The senses in the body, they're all in the head. Is it by mistake? Is it by mistake that all the senses are in the head? Why not in the leg? But they're in the head because that is where the battle is. So I'm trying to impress on us that if we want to win the war, we must change our lifestyle. We must change the pattern of our warfare and begin to focus on the forehead. Amen. Okay, let's look at this Philistine. It will give us a little bit idea of how they fight. Let's look at the first one. Gath means what? Means stronghold. Means stronghold. Alright. So it's a prison house. This body is a prison. Agreed? It's a grave for the inward man. So if we want to win, I must change the priority of my lifestyle. I must give less attention to the body. Is that correct? Amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying you won't eat food, you won't do this, you won't do this. But trying the things that will pamper the flesh, try and close them down small. Amen. If I spend 1 hour dressing up, what are you doing? You're just toning up. They know that this flesh is a minister. And after some time, he's going to throw up the sword. So, yeah, go. I'll finish my job. Alright? So, when we give so much, even when we're talking about fashion, the form of the fashion is to give attention where? To this body. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so I hope that will send a strong message. Now the second one, Ashdod means destruction. Means destroyer. Means destruction, a destroyer. Amen. So the stronghold is to ensure that we are always in the place where we are destroyed. Ashkelon means a merchant or a seeker of what? Pleasure. Ashkelon means to be a seeker or a merchant of pleasure. What would be the modern name? Who can give us the modern name of Ashkelon? Have we agreed on that?
Yes.
If you disagree, let us know. You know, I'm very sympathetic with entertainment. I'm very sympathetic. The only thing I can watch now on TV is sports. Where are the sports people?
Are you?
Where are the sports people? Sports is good. Say sports is good. Amen. Okay. Entertainment. So you are going from channel to channel. What are you looking for? They're looking for pleasure. Okay, this is how about Christian dream? This is the Christian dream, because nobody will go there. You'll drop that one. Let's not go there. You'll drop the meeting. So let's just rest the matter. Entertainment is what? Entertainment. Amen. So it's a seeker of it. You know there is edgy. Who knows edgy? Edgy. 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 Chuku, did you know that one? Edgy. Chuku, did you tell us that what's edgy? I think that's what I just mean is too. And Chuku, what does edgy mean? Wait, let's see what the hear from him. What? High is engineer, high definition. I think they call it mega pizza. This is not pizza. That is light. Brother, I think it's light. Where is the light entering? Entering the eye. But it doesn't stop there, it's going somewhere. It was last somewhere. It's going to the soul. Amen. Okay, so this entertainment we're looking for, can we replace it with one word and still be brothers? Are we still brothers? Are we still brethren? So the entertainment and images that we're placing before our eyes. Brothers, sisters, amen. Amen. So that means we are image worshippers. Bro, is that correct? You know, what I'm asking you, you be praying for me, Lord, because I need a prayer. Amen. So, is the image worship in 2016? Amen. You should answer me now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when we speak about the Philistines, they are alive and well. They are kicking, and they have all of us in the valley. But today God says, go up to the mountain. Go and cut wood in the mountain. Amen. And build the house of the Lord. Amen. So what is God saying? We should be winding down the images. We should have a program to destroy them. Amen. Scale it down. Amen. People should answer me now so that I know that we are together. Amen. We are not finished yet though. So this is Ashkelon. Somebody, when I said this somewhere, the person said yes. What is the measurement of the shekel? Have you heard the word shekel before? Shekel. It's the measurement of three. That's the money, shekel. That's where they got the word. Ashkelon, it's a treasure, merchant. You know, the modern lifestyle today is what? Not money. Yes. The modern lifestyle, the life is sweet because of phone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is a modern lifestyle that is based on phone. Amen. Downloading, uploading, Twitter, WhatsApp, Imo. Somebody said another one to me, say Imo. I say I'm not going to Imo. Let me say where I'm not. I refuse to open it. I'm not going anywhere. Let me just stay where I have enough. Imo. Okay, let's go to Gaza. What is Gaza?
Oh my God.
Watch what Gaza means. We're talking about the Philistines. It means what? Let's go here. It means wine. merriment. Is this really happening? Is it really happening? Really? One is a seeker. The other one is wine. The other one is prison. The other one is destruction. Is it by mistake?
Amen.
You know, there is different types of wine. They say the priest must not drink wine. And there is one strong wine, intoxicating wine. Amen. Then let's look at the last one. Ekron, what does it mean? Means pulled up by the roots. Proverb. The man is pulled up by the roots. That you plant, you come to December conference, Sunday fellowship, Wednesday you cry, roll on the floor, you have planted. When you go home and they visit you, what do they do? They pull up all the things. So can you imagine the combination of the four or the five of them? Amen.
Amen.
Now, this is what we are fighting against. And this is the warfare that you and I must overcome. But there is hope.
Amen. The hope is that the head of Goliath must come down. Hallelujah. And we know what that head is. That head has to do with the senses.
So, I'm not bothering so much about the senses I cannot see, because they are there. You know, maybe in another fellowship we will take special time and go into the world and look at senses. Because I see how the feeling that some people say, well, they're not quite convinced. So, we'll come back. We'll look at senses now. But today we're not, we'll just mention it in the past.
Now, how do I deal with the forehead? Because I know that to overcome, I must aim for the forehead.
How do I overcome in the forehead?
Amen. And I think with that we will close. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The first step to overcome,
the first step to deal with the senses is repentance.
First step is repentance.
The first step is to know that my head, my mind is falling. Is to realize that I'm at war, that I'm in the valley, and that I've been taken captive. I'm in the stronghold by a very wicked spirit which is there to destroy. A spirit that has turned me to a merchant of pleasure. And I'm looking for wine. And you know, you find this wine in Babylon. That's a feast in Babylon. A feast of flesh. God is not making a feast of flesh for us. He's making a feast of life, green things. Amen. Bringing us to the garden. The devil is taking us to a feast. God is bringing us into the garden to feast in his presence. And then I'm dealing with the spirit that is always pulling up. Just when I'm about breaking out, he pulls a little cord and I come back. Just when I have tried and I think I have landed, he pulls something and he brings it. That is the Ekron spirit.
Amen. Say amen now. Say amen. So I know what I'm fighting against.
One day God said, you have to fight against this spirit. Say, stop crying. Go after the spirit.
Do you know the spirit that you have to go after? Answer now. Do you know?
You need to call it by name. Say, God, this fast is for this spirit. Amen. He said, this fast is for this spirit. This is what I'm dealing with.
You identify it, you call it by name. and then you will go after it. Now, number two is to open the east gate. Open the mind. The first one is repentance. You identify the spirit. For you are repenting for submitting to the spirit, for giving life. You take the life that God gives you. You should have this you there. The good because the Bible says that there will take pleasure in those who do what? Who do things that are evil? We have pleasure in them. That's the pleasure now. We are part of it. We are strengthening the hands of the devil. So I say, God, I've been a worker of iniquity. I have propagated iniquity. Amen. So I start from there. I say, God, I don't want to go in that way. Amen. It's like the prodigal son, and say, I will arise and I will go back to my father. So the soul is going on a journey. To come back, he must, it begins with. Now, not just identify the spirit, identify the lifestyle. Identify the weakness. Now, the majority of the problem is with the eyes. So the eye gate. If you are not offended by that word, let me use the word eye gate. You know, there are gates, there are entrances into the soul, and the eye is the chief one. Can somebody read for us Proverbs 8? The time is running, but if you can just give a few minutes, I'll close. Proverbs 8. Can we look at Proverbs 8? We're looking at solutions now. Proverbs 8. What? You're reading it. Okay, just read the first five. First five.
Do not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of her high places, by the way, places of the path. She cried at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming, in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, ye of an understanding heart.
So this is the beginning. Now that city is the soul. Are we agreed? Agreed. That's what it is. Agreed. Amen. Do you know why? Look at verse. It tells you it identifies the city. Look at verse 4. Unto you what? Amen. Alright, he's speaking to men. Alright? And he said, my voice is what? To the sons of men. The second confirmation. He's telling you, he's speaking to your soul. Amen. So where is wisdom? Wisdom is at the gate of your soul. And who is wisdom? Christ. Amen. Behold, I stand where? At the door. And do what? And knock. If you open, I will come. Amen. So this is the first place to go back. Don't mind all those happening. That's distraction. Go for the focus. What are you focusing? Focus on the city. The entrance into your city. And we're looking at number one now, which is the eye. Amen. So let's go to verse 3. So look. Okay, verse 2. Says he standeth where? In the top of where? High places. By the way, we are in the places of the past. There is no other place but the mind where you have to travel. Are we together? He's describing your mind. When I add this one, I'm increasing the traffic. You understand? Say amen, man. Roger, praise the Lord. Because he's laughing. Yeah. Yeah, agree with me. Okay, good. I hope you agree with me. I pray you agree with me. I believe you agree with me in Jesus' name. Amen.
man and increase. Mail, Twitter,
bank,
what's again? WhatsApp, Queen's College, followed by Medical Council, followed by MIS, followed by Kampala Fellowship, followed by Lady Fellowship, followed by Young People Fellowship. How many fellowships will be good? Amen. After reading this, still have to read the Bible. So there is traffic. And when you go out of your house, it's even worse. You see everywhere traffic. Then you can listen to news. Then you have good news. Have you read the good news? News is bad news. And bad news is the real news. That's the last thing. It's not here today. Amen. Who agrees? Dog bites man. It's not news. Man, pastor, boy, dog. Don't you understand? Boy slaps girl, not me. But small boys slap governor. So the news you are reading is what? Bad news. And it's adding to the what? The traffic already there. And there's some of us like you, if we had not listened to NTA news, life has not started. You understand? I must go and hear news. Amen. But there is a voice. There's a voice. If you listen very well, you will hear that voice. The more you listen, the voice becomes louder, and NTA becomes lower. It's right. I'll try it. The more you listen to that voice of wisdom, NTA, all the other ones will begin to go down. After some time, you forget about NTA. Amen.
Amen.
This is how to open these gates. There is a voice that's crying out.
Say, oh ye men, I call. My voice is what? To the sun. Say, oh ye simple.
Understand. Amen. A fool is someone who doesn't have wisdom. And he cannot overcome that spirit. That spirit, you cannot overcome unless you have wisdom.
Amen. So, I'm going to move on. But the opening of the mind is where to start. Amen. Let me share another principle then. Hey, I'm coming. Let me share a principle. I think it's Psalm 135. Let's look at Psalm 135. That's a very important principle. We'll look at it.
The second principle is what we are looking at, opening the east gate. The east gate is the mind. It's the mind. Remember, the east gate is from where you enter the temple. You enter the temple or tabernacle, you enter from the east gate. Alright? So if this is the temple, tabernacle, this is the east gate. So this is the entrance, and you are that gate, it's you. So we are talking about this. How do you open it?
Amen. My God. Calm down. Okay, it's like I missed it. Okay, let me just look at the scripture. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, I wanted to show the left side. Now I'm going to the right side. So, verse 18, the last verse.
Now, there's a principle in the scripture about images. If you take an image and you start looking like that image, you become like the image you're looking at. Amen.
Amen.
So it says the idols of the nation are what? They have no eyes. Or they have eyes that they do not see. They have ears they do not hear. And so on. So they that worship them are what? Are like unto them. Now, there is a positive part to it. That
Your own God is also an image.
Amen. The word of God is an image also. When you place that image before you and you begin to look at it, what happens? You become like it. You have to change. You become changed.
Alright, so look at verse 18. But we are what? With an open face, beholding as in a glass, what?
The glory of the Lord. Now, a man who wants to change, you change by beholding, not by doing. Amen. I don't know if you are with me. If you want to change, all you need to do is what? Bring the image before you.
If the image is always before you, I beheld the Lord always before me. Therefore, I shall not. Amen. Shall be changed, what? From into the same image. From what? Glory to glory as by the Spirit of God.
So he's not saying you are going to change all at once. But as you begin to, you know, remove the image of television, remove the image of Instagram, remove the image of what your friend said, what Beyonce said, what the band said, what the Raman band said, and you begin to move, thus saith the Lord, thus speaketh the Lord, thus saith my God. My God will do that, so you begin to become my God. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are both pictures, they are all images. What we have been doing here is to bring an image and pull down the other image. And there are different types of images. There are images of stone. That one is hardened. Don't ever think after this meeting it's all broken. No way. You still need to do some more work to break it down. That's why you need some fasting. Amen. Amen. When you fast, you say, body, hold on. And you begin to focus on that image and pull it down. Amen. He says all the pictures, old images, things you have seen. I remember any image you see, you must practice it. I hope you know. Make sure you don't see the image, because if you see it, you have done it already. Is that correct? If you see the image, your body, your soul wants to act it out. Amen. That's the power of image. What you see is what you do, and what you become, and what you practice. Amen. Amen. So, be careful what you see. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. There was a scripture that came out. It's gone out. All right. Let's go to the second one. The third one.
Third one is what? And this is what? Away. Away. Who? Away the inner man. Wake up the inward man. There's somebody sleeping. Wake him up. Everybody say, waking up time. Who is waking up? Somebody's asleep. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what does that mean? It means somebody has taken too much time. Has taken over everything. So the outward man must be put down. He said, though the outward man perish, the inward man must begin to put on strength. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Your amen is not strong.
Amen.
You need to wake up the inward man. How do you wake up the inward man? You must hear a voice. You must hear a voice of the Son of Man. Remember, this inward man is going to be married to Christ. So Christ is coming. So you must hear. That means you must begin to, you know, to wake up. Amen. On Sunday, we talked about the other form. I don't know what do I call them here. I said to strengthen the inner man. One is to wake up. I want you to strengthen the inner man. How do we strengthen the inner man? There are three things we mentioned on Sunday. I'll repeat them. The first one is what? It's by the Holy Spirit. The second one is what? The Word. Third one is what? The blood. That's how to strengthen the inward man. To strengthen your eyes, your ability to see the things of God. Ability to hear the voice of the shepherd, you know. The ability to discern the things of the Spirit. Say, you know, the wise man sees from far, discerns from far. You discern the Spirit from far, and you begin to respond to that Spirit. Amen. And then, what's the other one? Mouth. We're not even going there. Isaiah chapter 6. This is Isaiah chapter 6. Psalm 120. There's a the tongue must be cleansed. It says my lips are unclean. You know, the unclean lips is that which takes part in the pleasures of the world. It loves the world, but it must be cleansed. Amen. And it takes the dealing as the golden altar. Say it took coals. And you thought, say, your lips must be cleansed. So the lips must be cleansed. Our lips must be cleansed. Amen. And he talks about the word and then the work of the blood. Let me end with one scripture. The last scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I think we can end with that. And then maybe if there are questions or comments, we can take. Acts chapter 1. This is for you and for me. I know you know it, but this is a different dimension of it, I hope. That's it. Can we read it together? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria. So who is the you that is receiving strength? Where is the strength coming from? The Holy Ghost is in your spirit. This is the Holy Ghost. In your spirit. But it must minister to your soul. Amen. You shall say power. Power is coming to the mind. Power is coming to the emotions. Don't look outside, look within you. Amen. So you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost means to extend the influence to your emotion, to my desire, and to my will. Amen. That is the current word. Hallelujah. Someone said, who will go up to heaven and bring help? Who will go down to the ground and bring help? The word is inside you. Amen.
Amen.
You have the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost wants to captivate. He wants to rapture.
Amen.
He wants to adopt your soul. Amen. It's the spirit of adoption. The Holy Ghost comes into the spirit that he must adopt the soul. So power is coming to the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Power is coming to your soul. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope. The Christ in you must possess the soul. That's the power that's coming. Amen. You woke up in the morning and say, Lord, I submit my soul to the Holy Ghost. Possess it. Energize it. Wash it. Strengthen it. Amen. He says, it's sown in weakness. You're going to be raised in strength. You're going to be sown in corruption. You're going to be raised up. Amen. There's a change. There's a transition of the inward man. And then, so we understand the workings of the devil. We are no longer as
foolish as we were in those days. Because we now know where the battle is. The battle is within. Amen.
Amen.
We know the Philistines are within also. And they are working to bring us into bondage, to keep us in the valley. Amen. And we are determined not to be in the valley. We are determined to strike where the matters move on the forehead. Amen. And we are determined to cut off the head of Goliath.
Yes.
The head must be cut off.
Amen.
And I'm able to do it. This, the weapon. The same weapon. He took the weapon of Goliath and cut. That weapon of the mind is the weapon we're also going to use to slay the dragon. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I think we can take a few questions and then we'll close it. Today is a bit different. Yes, sister. Where is the man now? Okay, take mine. That's you, boy. I don't
want to do it. As we spoke about entertainment and talking about teenagers, talking about fashion, I never went to a child, a student, in school. He came to Bible club one day. Sister Lucy was there. We were talking about hearing from God. He mentioned that he would like to hear from God, to hear God's voice. So Sister Lucy said, God is your father. I wasn't around, but they narrated the story to me later on. Doesn't your father talk to you? God can talk to you. Say no, that his dad with him doesn't talk with him. So that surprises and this is like, how can a father not talk with his child? So he now mentioned it to me. He's like, look at this child closely and know what the problem is. So I drew him close. He said, why doesn't your daddy talk to you? He said, daddy doesn't have time. I said, what happens in your home? Let me know. He said, well, when they come back, everybody gets to use on my room and starts playing or doing whatever you like with your iPad or any gadget you have. That works, does it to come in, is there a thing? And I don't know that you can imagine such a home. And this boy, what has even made me get close to him is is poor, academic name, and doesn't have a friend in the class. He's very tired. He wants to come to my office to chat with me. I said, no, go and make a friend. He said he doesn't have a friend. He's slow to speech. So it's like a complex. Maybe that's being slow to speak makes him want to play with other students. But you find that he's just locked in. And when he comes, at times I will have a little time with him to chat. Then he asks me, can I see your iPad? He still wants to get the iPad. I said, no, it's my iPad. And he starts telling me things I don't even know about the iPad. I said, I don't want to. Not asking such questions. I will chat with him. Tell him to read his Bible and all that and all that. He has a young, an elder one here. So I said, I approached that one. I said, why is that you don't play with this girl? He said he's a naughty boy. So he's still a boy in that situation. Parents don't talk with him. Siblings don't play with him. Class students don't play with him. And he doesn't want to play with him. He's just locked up. And he can easily get angry. You know? And you look at such a child, you just pity the child. What is going on? One day, he now went home. He told the mother that he has a friend now. Who is their girlfriend? This is someone. The mother now came to me. I was laughing. I said, he now has her as a friend. I couldn't. But he keeps opening up gradually and now comes to Bible club. And when he throws a question, he just knocks you off. at the Bible Club. But what I'm trying to say is this issue of getting glimpse to the gadgets is a very big problem in our hands. Even in our own circle, our children are not too far from it. The young lady visited me. I said, what is it you keep pressing? You have been with me for days. We can't even chat. He said, Auntie, that's where I meet my friends. I said, I want you to meet me. I want to have a chat with you. I want to know the things going on in your heart. I said, now today we are going to make vegetable soup. And you're dropping that phone. Come to the kitchen. Let's cook and chat. I want to talk with you. It was very reluctant that I put her out from that gadget and we started cooking and chatting. And along the line, I saw that she had very strange beliefs. Ideas about life, about marriage, you know. So what am I trying to say? It's a big problem in our hearts. We enter a house, everybody is pressing his or her own. To pull somebody out and have interaction with that person is a big issue. You know, I think it's something we should pray and fast about so that God unhooks our children out of that very practice. Praise God.
Amen. Sister, I will say something. Because you are saying, you can't make a video for a good thing. Let God bless that one.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's exactly the word. He said, everybody is there in my house.
Praise the Lord.
Wait, sister, this is a question. Is there in my house? Question. Me, I'm here. I'm saying, God, have faith on me.
Praise the Lord.
Sister, don't worry about it. So, the thing that says it's true is a sign for winding down. Amen.
Amen.
You know, for realness. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say that it's not only for the children. We, the adults as well, myself too. I realized that without the iPad, it's like something is missing. So, I've been thinking about it.
But what were you doing before the iPad?
Let me say what I did. I was one day I was coming to church. I said, today let me use my Bible. I won't use the iPad Bible. So I think that this is really the time you have to look at this. Because you are talking to somebody face to face. The person is in a conversation with you. As the given one you are talking with you, they are also on the iPad at the same time. And it's a problem.
Amen. This is not going to take too much time, sir, but we can allow it to.
Praise the Lord. So how do we overcome this? I'm looking at the Goliath of God. I'm looking at five stones. Not a crazy. And this is grace that God is giving to our inner man. And also looking at David being a man of wisdom, converting the battle from the natural to the spiritual. Goliath came and cursed him using the name of God. And he said, I'll come against you in the name of the Lord. So, brethren, we cannot even use any natural principle to stop people like iPad. The Holy Spirit, Romans 12, said, renew our mind, not to be conformed, but to be transformed. So, it is in our miserableness. Because we all have these vices to lay before God and be honest. Say, God, I'm hooked on iPad. I'm not looking at programs, I'm looking at old friends. I'm hooked on iPad. I'm not doing something that will deliver me. Deliver my mind, for my mind has been struck or stricken by a stone that is not a natural thing. The spiritual warfare, losing the trouble. You know, you begin to see images. You can even maybe pass through by news, and like, and you see all the people that dance. Before you know, you see images. You didn't even mean it. It is something that we have to individually come to God and say, Lord, this factor is not a natural thing again. We cannot, we are not only a gymnastic, not going to work. God, the Holy Spirit, come and help us. In that place of your brokenness, that place of being sincere with God, being honest with God, this is that, yeah, I cannot lie. What about anger? You don't need to be angry, but if you might trust you punch, you just find that you have lost it. You don't need to tell lies until you are in a very tight. And I said, did you know that it is the red light you put? He said, no, I wasn't putting it, I already cost it. And it's just like, just to get out of the problem.
That question we will answer in another day. We're not feeling today. Because there's a reason. There's a reason. Now, think about it. Why do you look at the iPad? It's not because there's a reason. There's a reason why you look at the iPad. Okay? The thing you like to do, why do you do it? Okay, there is something. Okay? And until you answer the question, you find, like you said, it's not a matter of making rules and regulations, I will see you in the five. That's okay, it can help, it can also help. But if you want to get to the root of it, somebody somewhere needs life. And let me tell you, that somebody must get life. However, he's going to get it. Alright? So it's like a child, the child is holding on to life, or holding on to something that's trying to say, give me, it's not going to give you. Until you replace it. When you begin to replace it with something better than what the child has, what will happen? The child will release it. That child is your soul. The soul needs life. If you like, sleep from here to outside and come back. At the end of this, the child needs excitement. If you can't bring excitement, it's going to hold on to what is holding. Alright? Good. So, we will look at this some other time from the scripture. That's the soul of it. And let me give you a scripture. The Bible says that the children of the resurrection do not mind. But that the children of this kingdom, they mind and they go into. What is it saying? There is a measure of life that the natural man gets from heaven. When the man begins to realize, I can get that life from a higher level, he forgets about it. Hallelujah. So, brethren, this inward man needs to get energy from God. The earlier we begin to turn the attention heavenward, the better for us. We will realize that there is a better place to have more entertainment. See, I didn't get any energy. See, in that presence is what? Sinners of joy. If I can have joy from God, I don't need one from Africa. I don't need one from my friends. Because I get the joy from God. So I'm going to focus on the one from God because it's sweeter and better. And more lasting. Amen. It's by the way, clean joy, clean energy. Not what that will define me. So, and that's what we are trying to say, look, that the more we begin to get hooked to God, we will see that we don't really need entertainment from CNN. Yeah. There's a better news. There's a better entertainment. I get hooked on it. While I'm sleeping, he's speaking to me. Say the word of God will talk to you while you are sleeping. It will converse with you. It will watch over you. It will wake up, it speaks to you. It's the same thing that we're getting from our friends. Praise God. Okay, so any other comment? All right, listen. So the brother hit it on the nail. We need to go to God.
There's something I want to ask you. Yes. Like in football. Sometimes when a man is stressed, you watch more like he is stressed.
No, sorry, I didn't get that one. When a man is
stressed, after day one, I like to watch football. It may help you reduce your stress.
To help you reduce your stress?
Yes.
It's a stress way. Okay.
And some people have a sports center. And now, what you have now, some people have a sports center.
Where? Oh, on the iPad.
not necessarily high power.
Or outside.
Outside.
Okay.
Now, for such a person, will you stop the business?
Okay, a brother who has a sports center.
Center.
Okay, so what will he do? Will he
stop? Will he stop? So I want to know, because I think that should be banking in the centers.
Is there any sports center owner here? Okay. So I was just asking, there's nobody, so we can have it on our phone.
I think I should be banned because sometimes I think force is good. The extra value is even the high power from this one in amis from our good. But it's like I think the extra value we have to give by putting in extra kind of like one message is what is it. So I really want to understand. If it is completely back.
Okay, so the girl wants to try. Okay. Okay, come.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At the point in time where we are, we should be talking about what is good and what is sad. Because you know, the Bible says that all things are what now? Lawful. Praise the name of the Lord. We're not just dealing with bad, we're not talking about bad things here. We're not talking about bad things. In fact, we should be talking about bad things. We're talking about good things that have got a hold upon our soul. That's what we're dealing with here.
Sorry, let's say it again. Okay, can we all say it together? We are talking about
good things
that have brought in God
upon our soul.
Good things that have become ashes and gap that have visited us.
Okay, praise God. You know, because a lot of times, you know, we, for instance, you know, let's talk about sports. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the truth of the matter is that sports is not necessarily bad, but there is a seed behind sports. You know, Paul says that all things are what now? Love, but I will not be brought under what now? The power. It's the power we're talking about, not the sports. So there are things you can't be saying what is good, what is bad. Is it right to do this? Is it not to do this? Those things are realistic issues. That the thing is to see the spirit behind what you call the world. When you see that, that's what we are dealing with. If we don't deal with that, we keep asking the question, is it right to do this? Is it wrong to do this? That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, all we're dealing with is, firstly, I want to be free. We're dealing with redemption, the release of the soul from good things that are taking you
over.
Now, the truth, every one of us knows, behind every addiction, there is what now? A spirit. Now, the truth is that Israel left Egypt. You understand? But their mind was still in Egypt. It was that made them not to enter what now? The promised land. They left Egypt. They were going. But their appetite was still in Egypt. Now, the first thing we're dealing with here is that God wants to take away a veil and show you the reason behind things. It's when you see the reason behind things that you can now flee from your tent. So you stop arguing, is it right or is it not right? What is the spirit behind it? You know, I posted something many years ago on Facebook. A little baby was between the father and the mother. So the father had iPads. The mother had iPad. So the baby looked at the father. Looked at the mother. He said, I have a feeling I was not conceived. I was actually downloaded. You understand the point? This one is here, this one is here. How did that come about? He doesn't know. But what I'm trying to get at, brethren, is that every one of us must understand that we are dealing with a power. The day you get that, it's not only a question of how long your skirt should be, or how tall the skirt should be, of those things that can be not into arguments. Now, if I change my appetite, that is my need. It's a matter of what now? Appetite. The soul has the capacity to develop and what now? An appetite. Either for entertainment or for the word of God. I get the point. And the truth is that the more I develop my appetite for God, I lose appetite for the sense. The part comes when I'm no longer discussing. As I'm talking to you now, you, every one of us in our soul, knows the areas where we are all what now, addicted. So, people come, I watch, let me tell you the truth. There was a time, as a Christian, I used to watch action movies. Now, what is action? Somebody takes a gun, people shoot in my face now. Somebody takes a gun and shoots at somebody. Wah, and the person dies. And I'm there, I'm watching the thing. And I'm actually what now? Enjoying it. Are you getting my point? I'm actually enjoying it. Now, that is iniquity. Killing is, you know, last thing that's another word now. Killing. I get the point. Now, you know, and you have a movie. The essence of a movie is what now? And many of us here still feel on that. You understand? What does it show? It shows that something is wrong where inside you. Now, that is the point we're dealing with. For everyone, if you are in the main center, those questions are things a man should go before God. You understand the point? Find out exactly what God wants you to do. And I think that if I sincerely go before God concerning any matter, and God sees that I really want to do what He wants to say, He will tell me. He will tell me. That's God. And so, brethren, the truth of the matter here is that the more we feed on God, there's no other solution except to begin to feed on God. The more you feed on Him, you are designed in such a way that you cannot serve two masters at once now, at the same time. There was something about the devil. You know, I don't know if you've been following this, famous quote. He says, if you're a young man and you are in love with two men at the same time, what you have inside you is not a heart. It's a sim card. I think it's a sim card you call it. The memory card. You understand the point? You see, what you have inside you is not a heart, but a memory card. Because a man is not designed to love to. You understand the point? You see, so when you look at your heart, and you realize you have many lovers, and you have changed from heart to a sim card, the memory card. Praise the name of God. So each one of us should find out, when you're dealing with that, it's a stronghold, isn't it?
Yes.
That's where Goliath, you understand, comes from. That is a stronghold. I was looking at something many years ago when God began to show me. Why? They didn't kill Goliath. They didn't bother with the watch. We just went and cut off what now? And carried it. And guess where he took it to? He took it to Jerusalem. It was a long journey, it wasn't a short journey. Many miles, heavy stuff. He carried it there. And, you know, I read a couple of books, the rabbis, from the Jewish rabbis and historians. He said he took it and went and did what now? He buried it. And guess where he buried it? Golgotha. Golgotha is taken from the world. Goliath of what now? Of that. And now, when the son, the Redeemer came, guess where they crucified him? As we are now. So, you see, the whole point is that this thing is aimed at dealing with the head of what now? Of Goliath. When redemption touches your mind, then you are free. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, the truth is that today, when you see this thing we call internet, I call this thing, it's what we call virtual reality. It's a simulated world. And make no mistake about it, it's a prison. I'm telling you, the same thing, when you say the word, people think the word is Mr. Beast and all that. No. See, a man can say this word, go to Mr. Beast, come out, and still walk about very freely. Now, but the word is a spirit. You know, you have to have received a spirit, isn't it? That spirit makes us what? Sons. That spirit makes us free. If you receive, it's a spirit of adoption. It's the spirit that makes you son. The other spirit is a spirit of what now? Bondage. The more you feel of that spirit, the more you become what now? A slave to habits, to appetites, to attitudes. The more you feel of it, the more the captivity counts. Praise the name of the Lord. And so the enemy has created a virtual world. Maybe somebody is here. How many of you watch the film called The Matrix? It's a very, very peculiar thing. People who made that film, you know, there are some two brothers like that. It was a film in which the world as we know it today was a computer-generated world. Now, the people inside the world are actually somewhere inside one drum, each person inside the drum. That drum is where I passed with you. What you are an energy provider to certain, you understand, robots. You know, the human being, this is what we are dealing with. It's as real as anything. You know, this body generates power. You understand that? This body is a battery. This is what the enemy thinks of. Now, he has attached these wires, you are inside that drum, inside one of the wires, and you're just emitting energy. And the machines are using energy to function. Now, inside you, they implanted a wall. In that wall, you are a doctor, a professor of hematology, University of Waterloo. Are you following me? It's inside your mind. Now, in that wall, you grow up, you marry, you have children, you get your PhD, you build your house, you buy your car. It is image.
Right.
It is not real. Now, but this is it. So, as you are there, meanwhile, your real person is tied up somewhere, just giving life to some machines. But they create a world inside your mind. Now, as I'm talking to you, the same thing is happening. Now, from the moment the internet was developed, there was a game plan, you understand, behind it. As you notice, the growth of the internet, the rate of suicide is growing. Everything is there. Everything. And so, we as a person, all of us have a little who claims that it does not have any form of addiction. It's a lie. Are you hearing my point? To what extent does it have? Maybe my parents who can't appraise their smart phone, all they know is call and answer. Those ones, they don't have problems. But I have a problem. We have a problem because we grew up in this world. The world has become technological dependence. Praise God.
Yeah.
Let me try and say it. It's technological driven. Everybody knows it. But at the same time, all of us need to be conscious. That is the part where you say be conscious of the environment where we are in. So you have to try by the Spirit to be in this world, but not in the world now, of the world. This is why all of us are better here. Praise the name of God. And so my prayer is, God, give me an appetite. And to develop an appetite, you have to start somewhere. The day somebody goes to take drugs, they started it one day. Do you understand the point? It's not like it's one day, there's somebody enticing and he came. It's just take small. It makes you high. They will tell you that nothing can follow it. The first day you took it, you became high. After you became high, suddenly you became what now? So they say, now you take two. You get that high. You now take two. And after two, you became lower. They say, now you take three. You get high. They are the point that you now want to stop it. Around it, then they use waterproof to grab it. It was him. So I'll pack, my sister will pack, and we'll go home, do the exchange, and then leave from where we'll go back again and take other ones. That's the young prayer that you have to do. You understand? Because something else has worked out. You stay in home. So if you want, you have to begin to realize that you need to change your world now. Go to the world. You read Psalm 119. And I can't tell you how much I was blessed reading Psalm 119 today. As he said, I cannot quantify it. In fact, I'm thinking I can go to be with God now, again, alone, and then with my what now, family. In fact, I'm going to do it often. Maybe every week, you must do it what now, once. Let's start there. I'm going to see it changes your what now, your thinking. You begin to do it, you begin to develop an appetite.
That's right.
When you have an appetite for one thing, you can't have an appetite for what now, for the other. The more you feed on this thing, you abhor automatically. He said, the boss is devoted. Automatically, the moment you begin to love the love for the love, it's a spirit. It is not compatible with the other one now. Spirit. They don't go together. Praise the name of the Lord. So, as you begin to do it, believe me, some of the habits that are too difficult, you will look for the Egyptians. You will see. There's no struggling about it. Change your appetite. Change your appetite. Keep designing. Feel on them. Make a choice to do that today. And as you do it, the other things will lose control. Little by little. Little by little. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see great and great grace in your life. God bless you.
Praise God. Okay, well, my time is up. Just forgive me. Can you see this?
Yes.
How many people have it? You know, it's good to see grammar. Now, I'm coming young grammar, but now I'm in practice. How many people have it? Brother Ken, please stand up. This brother is distributing this. This is a Bible reading plan for 1 year. You know, Sister Nimel said, the mother said, cheap, stock is cheap. After we finish talking, let's go to business. I recommend this. This will kill all the Goliaths. You don't believe it? This will kill all the Goliaths. Get on the program. This will drive away Arsenal. It will drive away Avengers. What we call the game Dingo. It will drive away Avengers. It will drive away iPad. This one. After every day, 4 chapters have passed. If you miss 4 chapters tomorrow, you have 8. While you are still trying to recover, you have missed the next day, that's 12. And you are sick of playing, it's about 16 has landed for your finger. You say, oh God, what would I do? 20 has landed. Oh my God. But I think that you should watch what we say. 25 has landed. So, there is no grammar. This is a discipline. You take it, your appetite will change by force. There is no grammar. Because when you realize that you have 50 chapters of scripture to read. Nobody will tell you to shut down your TV and say, I'm going to overcome. So, I believe in practical. But again, he's there. He can give it to you. He can pay photocopy. Put this inside your Bible. Carry it. If you have a driver, that is 1 hour of Bible. You go to the office, you read. You come back again, you read. You woke up in the morning, you read. In the evening, you read again. But of course, after you come back, you switch the evening news off. Because you have chapter to catch up. Amen. When we do it, I'm not saying to solve all the problems. So this is how I solve all my problems. Because this weekend, I think I had about 50 chapters to go. And it was either 5 or 9. And so
So the holiday was sent trying to catch up. And as a matter of fact, I caught up on a lot of things. Amen. And I told you, I started doing when do you pray? The brother said, let me teach you how to read the Psalms. In that February to today, I'm not dropping the Psalms. On top of Brackens studio. Okay, let's go. The Psalms are 150 chapters. There are 150 Psalms. There are 30 days in a month, is it not? Okay, so 3 into 15 gives you how many? It's 5. So, one psalm a day will not be enough. But if you read 5 psalms a day, if you start from the 1st of July, by today you should be on the psalm 10. Yeah? You should be on psalm 40. You know? That's what I'm giving you now. That's what I'm giving you. So, the way we did it is you can do other way, but a simple way, the brother could say this. You pick the numbers. So, on the 10th of the day, everything lasts, you read 10. Then you read 30 plus 10, that's 40. 60 plus 10, that's 70. 90 plus 10, that's 100. And then 120 plus 10, that's 130. You know, so that's like in the day. So if you start from day 1, that means Psalm 1, Psalm 31, Psalm 61, Psalm 91, and Psalm 121. So that's 5 gone. That's where Psalm 2, 102, that's good. You understand? Good. Now, there are 31 proverbs. Is it not? That's a very deep part of the Bible. Alright? So today is Proverbs chapter 10. I stopped at on the 7th. I didn't do 8 and 9. Today was 8, 9, 10 for me. Alright? Some days when I do one, I found out that I'm lacking time on the number. So I know I'm gathering. I have some credit for the last time. So when I like it or not, I must go and buy my credit and clear my Joshua. Like today is Judges chapter 4. Now, what it does for you is that it puts you under pressure. You have something, you know, so when I'm listening to news, I know I have time. Because my credit is good for me. So I have very little time for news now. Okay. I say, 1, 2, 3, good. I have to do. Because if I do too much news, no problem. They are waiting for me. Okay, so because I have determined I will not drug anyone. So I'm recommending it. I'm not saying you must do it, but it's just a recommendation. Bible reading is a very easy way to open your mind. You know, it's a very easy way. When you begin to read, you see, the more you read, the more your mind becomes brighter. And the scriptures that I have begins to open up to you. So, this is a practical way for us to go. No matter how busy you are, you can follow the program. You don't have to start all at the time. Start from wherever you can. You can start Proverbs, you can start the Psalm, or you can get this from where I can. 4 chapters a day. Is it 5? Okay. 4 chapters a day. And you will see. And I find my own experience, I'm not sharing my testimony. When I go to the scriptures, I see that my mind, you know, begins to be lifted up. You know, and I see I begin to look up in me. When I don't read it, I feel like something is wrong. You know, so gradually my mind is being trained. And you see, there's an appetite that's coming. I'm not saying it's fully there, but I believe we can make a progress. You know, and we can see it. The Bible says that the word of the Lord converted the soul. That soul is the mind. That soul is emotion. That soul, I was somewhere, somebody told me that abused me for 20 minutes. And your brother was kind. And hallelujah. You see, I know it's almost impossible. Because you wouldn't just do 2 sentences and then you will stop. But the man was just good. I just sat there. I said, Lord, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I think we are done. Sorry we took a lot of time, but it was critical that we, you know, lay some foundation on how to, you know, walk and cleanse this temple. Praise God.
Before that, there's an announcement I was told to make. So let me make it at once. There's an announcement I was told to make.